Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
All right. So before we jump into the news of the day on this Monday, and there's a lot of it, Ed is looking at the American Family Radio News website. I'm seeing you doing some video commentary on there, right?
Yes. I have to fill in for Bronson. He's the eye candy of our newsroom.
Right.
We had to replace him last week during his absence with Grandpa Millennial there. So if you want to see what I look like.
Grandpa Millennial would be Chris Woodward. Mm-hmm. Hey, tell folks about the AFN news site.
Yes, AFN is the news site for American Family News. The cool thing about our news outlet is we're radio and print news, which is kind of rare. A lot of news outlets these days is just one platform. But praise be to God, we do radio news as well as print stuff. What you hear on the radio at the top of every hour often winds up as print articles on AFN.net, but AFN.net has a ton of stuff you don't hear on the radio, so do check us out. We have Associated Press content. We have videos. There's even a video update with me and Bronson and some other people from time to time. There's columns, even a political cartoon. So it's a ton of stuff on AFN.net, as well as the latest from the web section down on the bottom. That is a way to save you time from having to go to various news sites. Rusty Pugh puts that together, and we update it through the day to keep you and yours informed.
All right. Well, we encourage people to go there. And also, we have the daily news brief that we'll send people, right?
Yes. That is a really popular thing. Again, it's a time saver for you. If you go to AFN.net, click the subscribe button at the top of the top right of the page. Enter your email address. We're not going to sell it to anybody or give it to anybody. Once a day, you're going to get an email from our editorial team there at AFN.net with about five or six stories to let you know what's going on today as well as what may be coming tomorrow.
So it's an easy way to get a news digest without once a day, and we'll send it to you.
Right.
And Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do you annoying push notifications every time we declare something breaking. Right. Like some news outlets might.
Yeah, I get that on my phone.
I have to turn them off.
And everything's breaking. Mm-hmm. So even stuff that's 3 days old, I'll get in my email.
Kamala Harris running for president, breaking.
Yeah, breaking news. I'm going.
What the notifications too are, something about music star passes away.
Right.
I've quit doing that. No, they don't send a picture. These are the notifications on your cell phone. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't know if they're from Apple or who they're from exactly. It could be for anybody, Fox News, anybody. But then you click. I quit doing this. I quit falling for it. But you click on it and you go, I never heard of this person.
Yes.
Never heard of this band. Mm-hmm. Don't have any idea what you're. It's sad that anybody passes, but I'm saying they trick you into clicking on there, and then you're. Well, that's what they want you to do, right?
Well, that's why I've turned off my notifications. I don't want, even though it's a phone and it's meant to notify you about things, I don't want anyone contacting me. I barely want my family contacting me on the phone. Okay, so I turn off all those notifications.
You know, that's probably a good idea. I haven't done that yet.
That's why you didn't respond to my calls last night, Ed.
That's right. And now I thought you were going to talk about when you're on a website and there'll be a picture of someone like Tom Hanks. Mm-hmm. So sad that we've lost him
right
before his time. And I'm going, Tom Hanks died?
Right.
You click on it, and, of course, it's
a lie.
Yes, it's all a lie. These
fake news.
The internet sits on a
throne of lies.
Throne of lies.
I was just going to quote Elf.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we hope everybody had a nice weekend. The weather's cooling down, at least yesterday and today across a lot of the U.S.
Right.
So fall is in the air, as they say.
It is. It's probably going to be a wet week for a lot of people in the southeastern U.S., and I say that because Tropical Storm Francine is expected to form today and threaten the southern U.S.
Is it going to threaten the southern U.S.?
It sure will. It's looking like it's going to hit at some point, maybe midweek at the very latest, between Texas and Louisiana. Could even hit Louisiana head-on. which means if you are in Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, you're probably going to get a lot of rain later this week, which we do need.
I don't think the words tropical storm scare people in Louisiana.
Because it's like category, it's
not even
it,
no.
It might be a category one hurricane.
Oh, you mean or, by the time it
or tropical?
By the time it makes quote landfall. Yeah.
It is football season in the great state of Louisiana, so they're probably a little more focused on the Tigers and the raging Cajuns.
Tigers
at the moment, LSU Tigers.
Yeah, and the Saints.
Mm, yeah, that's true.
They have other.
They had a big win yesterday. Saints did.
Yeah. You a Saints fan, are you?
No, I'm not. I root for the Dolphins for reasons I'm
and they
currently
won.
Debating. They did. They came back. They were down 14-0 early, and Tyreek Hill, hours after he got arrested.
I was just being polite.
Caught a 80-yard.
Do you want to give us a rundown of the whole game? Go ahead.
I didn't really want to know
Jacksonville,
about the
the in-state rival of
he will.
The Dolphins.
He'll give us a rundown of the whole game.
They jumped out to a 14-0 lead early, but Mike
you just
McDaniel
can't take a hit, can you, Chris?
Oh,
suffice to say, suffice to say, you're happy because the
it's still the regular season.
The Miami
win a playoff game, and you know, then I'll really be excited.
All right. Well, the big news politically is tomorrow is the debate between Vice President Harris and former President Trump, right?
Yes.
Where are they going to be having this?
It's going to be on ABC in Philadelphia, which is where she launched her presidential bid when Joe Biden handed her the torch, albeit probably being forced to hand her the torch.
You mean as he was being pushed off a
cliff
by
the donor coup, as some people have called it. Yeah, they're going to debate the issues for about 90 minutes on ABC. David Muir and Lindsay something is going to be the moderators there for about 90 minutes. We are planning on covering it, so we're going to have news coverage for you tomorrow night. But in the meantime, a lot of people are talking about Harris and the issues there where she can't run from her record. She's flip-flopped all these things. Trump, of course, needs to win women votes, all these headlines and things that people have thrown out there. I do have a lot of audio that we can bring in to discuss this particular issue. One of the things that people are really talking about this morning is an interview that independent senator and former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders did on Meet the Press. The question was, hey, what do you think about Vice President Harris saying she was in favor of all these leftist things when she was running a few years ago, and now she is not in favor of those things? What do you think about that, Senator Sanders? Clip one.
She has previously supported Medicare for all. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
Okay, first of all, Senator Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pragmatic is not a word. Did you hear him? Now, I say that because we here who live in the southern part of the United States get mocked a lot for inventing words or pronunciations of words. But that happens all over the country, quite frankly.
Yes.
And right there you have a gentleman from, I use that term lightly, from Vermont who can't say pragmatic.
Right.
Says prigmatic, which may be a word in Vermont. I'm not sure. But he's answered. First of all, do you hear the pregnant pause when asked the question? Play that again. I want you to listen to this. Who is this asking him this?
Kristen Welker, the host of Meet the Press.
Okay. Now remember, Sanders is, whatever you think about Sanders, Senator Sanders, he's the real deal.
He's all in on socialism.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a socialist unapologetically, and he's advanced the most liberal leftist ideas on big government and, you know, universal health care and guaranteed living payments. What do you call that?
Well, guaranteed annual
income. All those kinds of I don't know if he's said that or not. But anyway, all these things he's known for years that he's been a proponent of, certain senators. And Kamala Harris has really lined up with him ideologically. And so she's from California. She's left, far lefty. But now she's trying to, quote, moderate some of her positions, which I think she thinks will help her in the election, to gain more moderate votes. But anyway, just play that one more time, because listen to the pause, because I think this is what I think. I think when the pause takes place, he's going to himself, yes, she sure has. She sure has done an about face. But then he says to himself, again, I'm interpreting, I can't say that because it might hurt her. And I'm going to use pragmatic instead. So here we go.
She has previously supported Medicare for All. Now she does not. She's previously supported a ban on fracking. Now she does not. These, Senator, are ideas that you have campaigned on. Do you think that she is abandoning her progressive ideals?
No, I don't think she's abandoning her ideals. I think she's trying to be pragmatic and doing what she thinks is right in order to win the election.
Now, see, now I can't unhear that. Pragmatic.
Prig.
Yeah.
P-R-I-G.
Listen, this is why people don't like politicians in general, all right? Because Senator Sanders' explanation of what Kamala Harris is doing is a lie, okay? She's not being pragmatic or pragmatic. Kamala Harris is lying. Okay. He says she hasn't abandoned her principles. She's just trying to be pragmatic so she can win the election. No, she's trying to fool people into voting for her because her real ideas are so radical they might not vote for her if they knew that's what she was going to do. So this isn't being pragmatic. That's lying. That's deceiving the American voter. Now, shame on American voters if they're so low information that they don't know she's lying. But that's part of the game that's being played. Listen, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. You should tell the truth. You should tell the truth as to what you believe and what you stand for and what you're going to do when you get into office. But so many don't. They're always so busy being pragmatic. And I'm going to start using that from now on. That they are deceiving. They're deceiving the voters.
Yeah. What do you think will happen tomorrow night? You have any kind of preview for us here?
I don't. You mean as to what I think? Well,
in particular, what she will do if she's asked. I don't know these interviewers. Typically, the journalists are liberal. They favor the Democrat. Typically, I'm saying.
By the way, it's Lindsay Davis along with David
Muir.
Will be the moderators.
They'll be the moderators.
So you know. But even if they're liberal, sometimes they can do a good job of asking the right questions.
Right.
I'm not going to say that won't happen. But if she's asked about questions like, what that exchange there between Sanders and that reporter, she said, well, what about you? Now you've changed on Medicare for All. Now you've changed on fracking. You've changed on – somebody told me this morning – What did she say? I missed that. What did she say? Talking about Harris here, folks.
Which one?
She said she's in favor of a border wall?
Oh, yeah. She said during the convention speech when she accepted the nomination that she would support the border bill that they blame Trump for not becoming a reality earlier this year, late last year.
They don't call that the border bill, though. They're the comprehensive immigration reform bill.
Included in that bill, this is all according to Axios, which first reported that she was in favor of the border wall. Included in that bill is language for border wall funding. Therefore, people are saying that she's now in favor of border wall funding.
Do we know whether she's answered that question directly?
Well, she hadn't had very many interviews at all. These are questions that over the last, 7 weeks, she should have been asked multiple times. All right, here's my prediction, okay? First of all, on the Republican side.
For tomorrow night, you mean?
For tomorrow night.
Okay.
Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, debate.
On the Republican side, former President Trump has had almost 10 years of scrutiny in the media. He goes to hostile crowds when he went to the National Black Journalists Association, for example. He will talk to anyone, anywhere for hours on end. He's very experienced in front of the media. I will say the danger is he can get defensive and come across a bit on the sour side. That could turn some voters off if there's 5 or 10% of people who have made up their minds.
Who probably haven't.
However, I think he's going to actually do pretty well tomorrow night. On the other side, for Kamala Harris, we've already had staffers and former staffers say she doesn't like to be briefed. She skips briefings all the time. I'm not sure she has the patience to go through proper debate preparation. I don't think she, I think she's in over her head politically. I don't think these questions are going to be like 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, 2 minute answers. I do not think she can memorize answers for that. She's going to have to ad lib. And I think that's going to be dangerous for her. She has a terrible record along with Joe Biden to try to defend. Her only hope is to deflect attention away from that and to promise to be pragmatic, like Bernie Sanders said. I think she runs the risk of possibly imploding on one or two questions because I just don't think she's capable for 90 minutes of answering, doing deep dives on issues if the moderators will push back and have follow-up questions with her.
Yeah, I agree. I think the pressure is on her. I think former President Trump, as you say, has a world of experience with this, these debate situations and media and so forth and so on. So I think he may not help himself, but he's not really going to hurt himself.
I don't think
tomorrow.
So.
There's nothing, you know, everything about Trump is pretty well baked in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People know what they're getting.
They know what they're getting. But with Harris, not so much. So she might do fine. She might do fine, but I think it's high risk. I think this will probably be the only debate she does. And as you say, she is not that good answering questions on her feet quickly. And she can double talk. She can word, she can word salad with Thousand Island. I mean, very easily, very easily. You remember the interview she did, the now infamous interview she did with Lester Holt of NBC. And he asked her about, you know, she was border czar. She says, I'm not border czar. Yeah. Well, she was appointed by, remember the day that Biden appointed her, mm-hmm. His representative to oversee the border crisis.
Right.
I mean, if you want to call that border czar or not, I think that's just semantics. She was in charge of this administration's response to the massive millions of people coming to our country illegally. And she was going to explore the quote root causes.
Right.
You know, like this was some kind of term paper she was responsible for writing. That, to me, that was, I'm digressing here, which is rare, but that was basically a cover to say, I'll get back to you on why this is happening, but I'm really never going to get back to you because we don't give a rip about why millions of people.
Was that the interview where he said he'd never been to the border?
Mm-hmm. Yes. He said to her, see if you can find that, Brent. Lester Holt, NBC News, to his credit, said to her, but you've never been to the border. Or you've not been to the border, something to that effect. To which she sort of stumbled or looked at him like a deer with headlights and said, I've never been to
Europe either.
Never been to Europe either. And which most people are going, that what does that even mean?
Right.
Americans haven't been to Europe.
Right. Well, what kind of answer is that? She should have come back with, yes, I'm going, or I have been, or we're concerned, or something. I haven't been to Europe. Then she said, I don't even know what that question. Anyway, it was what I'm saying. This was an example, and that was a taped interview. Mm-hmm. This was an example of her not being able to have a coherent, logical answer to a very simple question.
And even if the two ABC moderators don't push the vice president on her responses, even if they have no follow-ups and they let her get away, you know, in the CNN interview,
I don't think Trump will, though.
That's her problem. Yeah. Her problem is Trump's going to say, okay, I'll answer your question here in a second, but I want to push back on what she, then she is, whatever prep she's done is not going to be good enough, I don't think, for her to have an answer when Trump presses her. On the CNN interview, if I've got these interactions with the media of Kamala Harris, she was asked about the economy, and she said, I think Americans are looking for a new way forward. You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When was this?
This was on the CNN. Was this not the this
like
CNN
recently?
Interview?
Yes,
the CNN interview. And Trump, if David Muir and Lindsay Davis don't push back on her, that Trump is going to say, a new way forward, you're part of the old way. I'm the new way forward.
Right.
You have put us through 4 years.
Right.
And he's going to – she's the one, I think – who could get flustered.
Yeah.
Trump is not going to let her get away with answers, cheap, easy answers like that, even if the ABC moderators refuse to hold her feet to the fire.
To your point here about the, quote, new way forward on things like the economy, can I play a clip, Brent?
Well, he's looking up something for me right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will
say, Lester Holt interviews Kamala
That was
Harris.
One of the things. We don't have to play the clip, but I'll tell you what he said. Governor Chris Sununu, Republican out of New Hampshire, who has not always been a outright Trump supporter, does think that Trump needs to go after her on issues not necessarily involving the economy, but what Sununu called the cost of living, high fuel bills, high electric bills, high all kinds of things.
And inflation.
Yeah, because of things that have occurred during her time as the number two.
Right.
She has a say in these kinds of cabinet meetings. So it's almost like they exist. The whole Biden administration doesn't even exist. When Ben Stiller a couple of weeks ago was confronted, hey, who are you going to vote for? And he said, I think I'm going to vote for Kamala Harris. It's time for a change. He was ripped because it was time for a change. She's not new.
Well, yeah, it is funny because these even Harris herself slipped up the other day. It said a new direction, right? Then what you're saying? Mm-hmm. So a new country in a new direction. Well, what's the You're Biden Harris,
right?
You're President VP. You've been taking us in a direction, and now you're saying you want a new direction. What's wrong with the direction we've been going? So you can't. It's contradictory.
Yeah.
Unless she wants to say I break with Biden on A, B, C, D, E. That's the direction I want to take.
Yeah.
Our country.
There was a time where she was in favor of things that he wasn't. In favor of banning things or doing things that he was, because he was the moderator.
Yeah, right? Well, Biden was considered the moderate in the pack.
Moderate, yeah.
In 2020, when you had Bernie Sanders there, he was about even with, I don't know who, was he even with Biden? During the Democrat primary.
He looked like he could be a threat to Biden.
Right.
Yeah, he looked like he could get the nomination.
That's why the Democrat hierarchy basically brokered a deal to take him out and put Biden at the top.
Before South Carolina.
And this was after a lot of people started courting really leftist stuff. In 2016, Sanders ran a successful campaign. He didn't get the nomination, but he got a lot of support against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And then in between 2017 and when he ran again in 2020, a lot of people on the left, Democratic Party, started doing things like Medicare for All and all this other stuff. So Bernie comes out. He looks like he's probably going to be a lock for it. And then Joe's Sweet Talks people drop out.
Had a lot of support amongst young people.
Mm-hmm.
Climate
we'll play change, it after Medicare for all that.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We're kind of previewing the debate tomorrow evening, which will take place in Philadelphia.
I'm making popcorn for that.
Are you?
Yeah.
And it's going to be at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Kamala Harris, the VP, versus in this corner, Donald Trump, the former president. They will, for what voters are left undecided, I'm not sure. I don't think there are very many people. Pretty much, we could vote today, and probably going to get what we're going to get on November.
Fifth.
November the 5th.
It's right around the corner. Less than 2 months away.
Please, please, please.
Let it be over.
Let it be over. All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers
facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and Chris, and we thank you for listening. The weather report is that there's a tropical storm. I didn't even know about this till this morning. That's going to hit between Texas and Louisiana tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, looking like Wednesday at the very latest. I'm going to see what they just posted here.
Tropical Storm Francine.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, much of the Southeast could use some rain, honestly.
Right. We have a very dry summer
here. I think the state of Mississippi, at least North Mississippi, where we reside, is in a band burn.
Yes.
Because it's so dry.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, so, you know, nobody wants 3 inches in 12 hours or 24 hours with the flooding that caused, flash flooding that causes. Yeah. But I'm just saying a lot of the Southeast at least could use some.
Right.
Could use some rain, which is unusual to say.
Yeah, because right? This is a pretty wet state.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
All right. So we were previewing the debate tomorrow. We were just talking about the pressure is on Vice President Harris, not really on former President Trump, because she's new to this game. I wanted to play what I was talking about earlier to demonstrate how she struggles, or at least maybe she'll do better. Maybe she's learned in terms of how to answer hard questions. But this is the exchange that I was talking about earlier. This was one of those moments in her term as vice president where people just said, well, she's done for, basically, because she doesn't have the ability to be president. That's before, of course, before Biden, you know, his mental faculties just went so far bad that they didn't have a choice. They, the Democrats, really didn't have a choice but to pick somebody new, and she was the one who emerged. Harris was. A lot of people thought it'll be Hillary Clinton or it'll be Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, or somebody else.
Some goofballs predicted Michelle Obama.
Yeah, don't know who that was.
What kind of idiot would predict that?
Michelle Obama.
Okay, it was me.
Many people think she could win handily. I don't know, but she doesn't want to be president,
right?
At all. She has a good life right now, you know, vacationing with George Clooney in the Mediterranean,
multiple homes,
and yeah. She's got three homes, Hawaii, Martha's Vineyard. I mean, for a socialist. The Obamas are killing it. Okay?
They really are.
They're really faking being a good capitalist.
They're so concerned about climate change, they have a gigantic house on a cliff where the sea levels are rising.
Yes, yeah.
And they're not worried about it because they can move to one of their other homes.
Yeah. All right, so here's that exchange between Lester Holt of NBC and this is probably 18 months ago or so, I guess. Go ahead.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
I don't understand the point that you're making. That's the problem. That's probably more revealing than anything.
She just,
it was clear what Lester Holt was saying. She said, what, three times? We've been to the border.
Who's we?
Yes.
She got multiple personalities or something?
And so Lester Holt said, because I guess what Lester Holt was thinking is that the vice president was saying the administration has been to the border. We, when she
that
said
that isn't what he asked, we. Though. He
that
said,
isn't
you.
What, yeah.
And to his credit, he says, you haven't been to the border. And then she goes, I haven't been to Europe.
And I don't understand your question. How can you not understand the question? The question is, you said we've been to the border. Lester Holt says, yeah, but you haven't.
The point, the overarching point of that exchange right there, which hurt Harris in her numbers, as you know, in her approval numbers, is that she didn't go to the border because she didn't want to go to the border. Because if you go to the border, it brings attention to the crisis at the border, which is a responsibility of Biden and Harris to protect our country from millions of people coming here illegally, when that's what they want.
Right.
They want people to come here.
Perfectly said.
They want millions of people to come here illegally and pour into our country. That's because they think, they, the Democrats, think that one day soon that will benefit them greatly if they are able to get these people to become citizens, or in some cases, people want them to vote without even being citizens. Mm-hmm. So that's the desire of the National Democrat Party. They won't necessarily say that out loud. Now, some of them, like the mayor of New York, for example, who have to deal with the real-world implications of whatever it is, 100,000 new people flooding into his city that he's supposed to take care of, they're squawking.
Yeah.
But the National Democrat Party does not want to do anything about stopping illegal immigration into America because they think that that's going to benefit them at some juncture in a big way.
One of the things I wanted to point out was, you know, a lot of people on the left have tried to take up for Harris, saying she was never a border czar. She was never given that title, even though the responsibility she was given does classify her as the, quote, border czar.
It's semantics.
Now, let's go back to the Obama administration. That's when the term czar kind of became widely used in American households. It wasn't in reference to, like, Russian, you know, monarchy czars, but czars meaning a person put in charge of something. Nobody during the Obama administration pitched a fit when people were referred to as Obama's czars. As a matter of fact, I found a political article from 2009, and the headline is President Obama's czars, and they said he has so many we started keeping a list. Interestingly enough, in 2009, a guy named Alan Berenson was actually referred to as the border czar, and nobody cared.
No.
But in 2024, it's an issue, and you're sexist if you use it against her.
Okay, to the point, Harris and her supporters better hope that what just played between her and Lester Holt doesn't happen tomorrow night. That's what I'm saying, because that could hurt her.
Those kind of answers would hurt her. But first of all, Trump wouldn't let her get away with it,
right.
I don't believe.
Right.
And those things are going to wind up in ads.
I don't even think she's going to want to talk about the border very much. I think she'll move on to, well, we're doing everything we can, and blah, 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 blah. She's just going to say some pablum,
right?
I think. And of course, Republicans can say pablum too.
Right.
It's not the dominant. It's not dominated by one party. But I think, I think if this were a heavyweight boxing match, I think the money would be on Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It'll you know, because of the reasons we've expressed here, but we will see what happens tomorrow evening.
One of the things that the moderators may bring up is the fact that she finally has put some policy on her campaign website. Fox has this story. I'll share it on our Today's Issues Facebook page. It does not go into detail. Imagine that. But she does separate her stuff into four sections: build an opportunity economy and lower cost for families, safeguard our fundamental freedoms, ensure safety and justice for all. That's where she's going to push abortion. And lastly, the other one is referred to as keep America safe, secure, and prosperous. If she brings up the border bill, she will use it as a way to say Trump is the reason why Republicans voted against that bill several months ago, and it's his fault.
Well, I've heard Trump respond to that. He has a very good answer to that. I don't think that's going to work, but we'll see what happens. I've heard him. He has a very good answer to that. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Ed, and Chris. Next story, Chris.
Well, a lot of people on the left, including Democrats, have started to float the idea of Russian interference in this election. whenever they start to see bad poll numbers, it becomes Russian interference in this election. They want to blame the boogeyman out there for why Republicans are gaining ground in states where Democrats don't want them to. So for about a week now, people even in the Justice Department have started throwing out this idea that the Russians are going to interfere in our election. That was a topic for discussion over the weekend on CNN. Dana Bash had this question to say to Senator Tom Cotton, and hear his response. Clip six.
How worried are you that right-wing influencers are being funded, either directly or indirectly, by the Russian government in order to make an impact on this election?
What did make a difference in the last election is the lies about Hunter Biden's laptop that more than four dozen former intelligence officials lied about in the middle of that campaign. And most networks, to include this one, bought that lie hook, line, and sinker.
He's right.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the most shameful moments in American, and let's say, in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm. What was?
The signed statement by almost 50 members of the intelligence community, past and present, saying this was Russian, the Hunter Biden laptop.
Had all the markings of.
Had all the markings of Russian disinformation.
About Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah. And then the mainstream media and the social media giants all put a lid on covering it. All bought that.
Well, and during the debate between Biden and Trump, Biden said that's been dismissed by more than 50.
Yeah.
Hunter's laptop story is not true, and backing me up are 50 high-level national security experts.
Yes, who had not seen the laptop.
No, they didn't know.
They didn't know whether.
But what happened there was this. You know, you've heard the expression "deep state,"
right?
Now I don't know how sinister the deep state really is, but I define deep state as institutional federal government bureaucrats and leaders who have been there a long time, and they are Democrats, and they don't like people who don't subscribe to sort of globalism. I say sort of globalism. I don't know exactly how to define that, but you know it when you see it.
Right.
But globalism. And so they wanted desperately these 50 people. They put their names on this letter almost immediately when the laptop story broke, when they didn't know what the truth was about the laptop. As it turns out, it was all true, right? But they saw that in this moment. This was a few weeks before the election.
Yeah, it was within
2020.
I think it was within 6 weeks or 2 months.
Okay, so they saw this as potentially hurting Biden and costing him the election against Trump. So they were so against Trump that they said, "We don't care whether what we're saying is credible or not, or true or not. We're not going to wait for the information to come out about the laptop.
Right.
We're going to go ahead and say it's Russian disinformation because we want to help Biden win."
And then the parts of the media that did want to cover it, like the New York Post, broke the story. Mm-hmm. The article on it, you couldn't share it on Facebook.
Right.
I mean, the
right. No, it was social- they were all the deep state.
Yeah.
These liberal progressive organizations all joined in cahoots, Facebook, Twitter at the time, mm-hmm. to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story, which was basically been vetted by a very reputable news source called the New York Post. Mm. And they all joined in to suppress it, CNN, and call it Russian disinformation because they knew the potential to hurt Biden in the election. They wanted him to win. They were against Trump. And so they went with Russian disinformation in a hopes that it would, and it did end up helping.
Yes, I saw
it,
one
it help, helping Biden.
I saw one survey where 17% of Democrat voters said if they had known about the laptop, it might have affected their vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to your guys' point, too, it's not a conspiracy theory on the right to say that Facebook suppressed the story. We know from the letter that Zuckerberg recently signed the House Republicans that one of the issues that the Biden-Harris administration and their allies wanted them to suppress was the Hunter Biden laptop story.
Yeah. So, you know, when people say Republicans have to, especially on national elections, have to fight with one hand tied behind their back, the liberal media is overwhelmingly in favor of the Democrats, and the legacy media and the big social media based in California. They're just all groupthink almost. Yeah. So
you can watch, Newsbusters from time to time, and Steve brings these clips in here where it's different people on different channels saying pretty much the same thing. It's like somebody gives them a press release with bullet points, and they just go on there and rattle off those claims.
Yeah, next story.
Well, I want to bring people's attention to a case out of Colorado. It's a federal lawsuit filed by Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, on behalf of at least three families that are claiming Jefferson County Public Schools there in the Denver area is violating their parental rights. Apparently, the school system there, Jefferson County Public Schools, has an overnight accommodations policy that the school bases on so-called gender identity and not sex. In one of the client's cases, the family claims that their daughter went on an overnight school trip to Washington, D.C. in Philadelphia, and when she was preparing to go to bed, she became aware that her roommate for that hotel stay was not, in fact, a girl, but was a boy identifying as a female. And there are other cases that ADF has included here in their press release. I'll share this on our page. One family was concerned that their child, who was going to go to outdoor lab, was going to have to, he actually got there and realized his counselor was a female, and the facility wanted her to keep tabs on how long the kids were in the shower, and the boys were scared of this to the point that campers didn't take showers that week because they had the heebie-jeebies from their counselor being a she when they thought it was going to be a he. So this is a federal lawsuit. It was just filed. It's going to be months, maybe even a year before we get anything out of it. But I do have a soundbite here from the attorney, Mallory Slate of Alliance Defending Freedom, telling AFN, no matter where you live, parents everywhere should be concerned about and paying attention to this kind of case. Clip 10.
Parental rights matter in every state, and parental rights are being attacked in this country. And what we are really fighting for is two things. First, that we allow parents to be the ones to make decisions for their children. And number two, that school districts give parents the information necessary for them to make informed decisions for their individual children. Those two things, regardless of where you live or what school districts you are in, those two things should be applicable to every parent and every school district and every child in this country.
So we do have that on our website, AFN.net, for more on those families and their claims.
Well, this is going to continue as long as blue states, blue cities, as long as you've got a federal government right now, the Biden administration, that is pushing this transgender nonsense, you're going to have parents in direct conflict with those who are calling the shots. And by the way, when I say transgender nonsense, folks, please understand I am not being dismissive of or mocking people who are confused about their gender. I mean, this is a real struggle for a lot of these people. It's a form of mental illness, if you will, but at the very least, it is a real confusion that these people are suffering. So I set that aside. When we're talking about transgender nonsense, we're talking about the policies that result in these kinds of bizarre circumstances where a girl discovers there's a guy in her hotel room who claims to be a girl. Now, no parent, I don't even know if liberal parents
How old was the girl?
Like 11 or 12.
Oh my word. And what was the man pretending to be a girl? What was his role?
That was another student at another venue that involved overnight stays.
But it was a boy.
Correct.
Who said he was a girl. These are bizarre circumstances.
Well, again, we're not making this up. This is the kind of thing that Biden is pushing. Biden and Harris.
The Title IX change that they want involves overnight accommodation.
Yeah, this is not theoretical. That the Biden Harris administration is trying to force on states, especially red states. They want to say either you promote the transgendered issues, or we're going to take your federal money away through Title IX. That's real. I mean,
right.
Again, I quoted last week, a lot of the red states, Governor Ron DeSantis spoke for them, and I know he said that regarding this, he said Florida will not comply. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do this. Biden and Harris can try to push this transgender nonsense on our state, but we're not doing it. I don't. I think that's in federal court right now.
It is. Yeah, the Title IX stuff is kind of in legal limbo. In some states that didn't challenge it, like Massachusetts, for example, the Title IX changes are in effect. But if you're in like Missouri, Mississippi, and a bunch of other states, it's kind of up in the air. You don't have to comply. But that is something that's been around for a long time. As long as I have been on this planet called Earth, people in positions of political office have said we need to get rid of the Department of Education and stop these kinds of things. And here we are, 2024.
Well,
we still have
going to happen.
Department of Ed.
We're not getting rid of any agency.
No. Well, I think one reason why is
most
because
Republicans don't seem to be in favor of that.
When that happens, then the Lester Holtz of the world or Kristen Welkers go, well, aren't you in favor of kids learning things?
Right.
Senator,
oh, yeah. If you're against the Department of Education, the liberal media will say you're against education.
Right, right.
As if we didn't have education policies and agendas before the Carter administration came along and created the Department of Education.
Yeah, you're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Ed, and Chris. By the way, back to the debate for just a moment tomorrow night. I saw somebody sent me a Babylon Bee. You know, they're a satirical.
Right.
Most people are familiar with them. Babylon
Bee. They're hilarious.
Bee, and it said, Trump was prepping to debate Harris, and his prep included going to a bar and talking to three drunk women. What do you think about that?
That's very funny. Mm-hmm. Well, because I guess the joke is there's one aspect of that I'm not going to discuss.
What aspect?
About Kamala Harris, about the three drunk women. Because I don't know if it's true, but
we don't know what's true.
All right. Well, now I got to say it. So there are people who have, and I think this is wrong. There are people who say they think Kamala Harris is drunk sometimes in public. That's just,
why does she have a drinking problem?
No, that's what I'm saying. That's just gossip. That's just gossip and slander. If she comes out and says I have a drinking problem, and sometimes I'm out in public drunk, okay, then you can say it. Yeah. So I don't know if that's what the Babylon Bee was trying to get across in terms of going to a bar and talking to three drunk women. But I do think what's funny about it is that because Kamala Harris frequently goes into a word salad kind of fit.
Yeah.
That going to a bar and talking to three drunk women, and it could be three drunk men too. A lot of times you're not going to get a straight answer or a coherent response. And so it is funny on that level as well.
There was that moment during the debate with Biden to which Biden just had this completely nonsensical answer. And Trump goes,
I don't know what he just said. I don't think he knows what he just said.
Yeah.
That was the kill shot.
Yes, that was.
I don't think Harris is going to do. She's not going to. Well, I don't know. I don't know. She's word salad.
Word
Kamala.
Salad Sally.
Yeah, she can let it go.
There was another moment. I think there were two kill
slice
shots.
And dice.
There were, I thought, two kill shots. That one was one in the Biden-Trump debate. The other one was when President Biden just ended an answer with, remember how I beat Medicare?
Trump goes, you beat it to death.
Yes. That was also a bad moment. Although, I'm not president, but I have had those moments where I just end a sentence in the middle, and my wife looks at me and says, what do you mean?
Captain Trello.
Yeah.
I will say, the format for this debate tomorrow night, if it happens, Nancy Pelosi thinks Trump may back out. But nonetheless, the format for tomorrow night's debate is supposed to be similar to the one between Biden and Trump with no hot mics, notes, and all that stuff.
As far as visuals go, last time it was obvious that Biden was the way older statesman, right? I mean, that was awful.
As we say,
bless his heart. From the moment Biden shuffled out,
yeah,
and then started staring into space.
That was blankly strange.
That was almost Saturday Night Live.
I don't know where Jill Biden was sitting or his staff or whatever, because he wouldn't look at the camera. He would just stare off to the side.
Yeah, it was odd. But what I'm saying is, to the extent that this matters, it's superficial, I know, but tomorrow night Trump will be the old guy.
Yeah.
So if that matters, I don't know. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he needs to bring energy. Because I will say this, Kamala Harris sometimes can do the word salad thing and not make any sense, but she looks energetic while she's doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So you don't want to have that kind of contrast.
She's 59. He's 70.
How old is she?
59.
Oh, 59, yeah.
But Trump is like the political energizer bunny.
Yes.
Huh?
He'll probably be salivating.
He'll have a couple Big Macs. He'll be ready to roll. Am I right?
Listen, his diet, I think, appears to be
legendary. It's legendary. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.